out. She gets herself on the TV having done nothing, having accomplished nothing, having written absolutely no legislation, having changed nothing, having brought nothing back to our area at all. A worthless, entirely worthless member of the United States Congress. We call her Pramila PayPal because apparently what she does is raise funds to run again based upon a, no, I swear I really hate Trump. Other people claim to hate Trump, but I hate him. And let me just say hate. And if I can explain that, I say hate, H-A-T-E. And my hatred is so complete that I can tell you this. I feel hatred, which I spell H-A-T, hold on, R-E-D. So she's on the TV with someone named Poppy Harlow. And they have a discussion about following the Senate Majority Leader around with your camera. And waddling behind them and saying, we know where you live, bitch.
Is this the best way for Democrats to get their message across? Is this productive?
Look, I think that people are deeply angry about the fact that kids are in cages and parents have been separated from their families. And I think that people, you know, to me, vote you out is it's not what I'm chanting at Mitch McConnell, but if people want to say that somebody should be voted out because they are doing things that undermine America's core democracy, that to me is a part of democracy. If you really want to take on people who are saying terrible things, I think we should take on the president of the United States.
I don't like things that undermine our core democracy because that undermines our core democracy. So we're absolutely 100% clear. Pramila PayPal is just fine with these behaviors. So what she's saying, and I need you to hear me, please listen very closely. I do not want you to do this at all. And I'm serious about it. None of us have business doing this. But she wants you to. Now, we're not going to, but she, by letting this slide, wants there to be an environment where when you see an office holder, you take out your cell phone, you walk up and say, I know where you live. We know where you live. Or where you surround a Stephen Miller's house. Or when you kick someone out of a restaurant and then you mock them as they go to the next restaurant. Or you spit on Pam Bondi, the AG of the state of Florida, because you don't agree with them politically. Pramila PayPal does not condemn this. And this is a Washington state Washington state resident back there in Congress who no doubt went back there based upon the whole idea of tolerance, etc. The Inslee form of tolerance. What exactly has Inslee tolerated? Well, he's tolerated, and in fact, he has helped perpetrate one of the great scams in our state. It's not just the carbon tax. That's a scam. They've turned that into an initiative, which is basically Jay Inslee's failed legislation that they've now pretended is a fee. It's not. It's a tax. And by the way, it's not on carbon. It's not on carbon. They're not measuring the carbon output of your car versus another car. They're not measuring the carbon output of someone's truck, etc. Because remember, everything else has a waiver. Pulp mills have a waiver. Big factories have a waiver. The creation of airplane parts, they have a waiver. The only people who pay this tax are you for your home and you for your car. But they're not measuring your efficiency. They're not saying, oh, they have better carbon filtering or they've got a more efficient engine. It's based upon gas. It's a gas tax. Everybody knows it's a gas tax. It's not a carbon tax. That's not the fraud. The fraud has been Western State Hospital. The fraud has been Jay Inslee, who lied during the campaign, who lied to the House and the Senate in Washington State, who pretended things were hunky-dory there.
I don't make stuff up. I don't have phony math.
Yeah, except you did, in fact, hide this stuff from the legislature.
I got probably the most transparent administration in our state's history, and I'm proud of that.
King 5 News has an article that is chilling in regard to Western State Hospital, who people describe as it's like going into hell. We had Bill Bryant on the program. Bill Bryant, who could have been our governor, on the program. He talked about some of these circumstances at Western State that now I can't get to play because I touched my computer in a weird way. Oh, this will be fun. It's fun when you touch a Windows computer and it decides it no longer wants to play audio. I love it when it happens. So Bill Bryant was on our show, and he described some of the situations at Western State and described them as not just problematic, but described them as, in fact, horrific. And some of these things were patients who were not given their proper medicine when they were to be given, people who were left strapped in beds when they shouldn't have been left strapped in beds. People, in other words, abused.
If you read press reports about this, you think that we lost our federal funding because some sprinklers weren't hooked up and they didn't do fire drills. No, it's because patients were actually committing violent acts against staff. It's because they had 25,000 master keys that they lost, that they had thousands of tools that could be used to pry open windows and doors that were lost, that exit doors had been kept open, that patients would be reclassified as safe rather than dangerous. They would have been dangerous, they escape, then they're reclassified as not dangerous so that they wouldn't have to notify the public that, oh, yeah, somebody dangerous just escaped.
Yeah, and Bill didn't list, and I know he's aware of, the fact that there was a patient there who was basically, as I understand it, raping other patients, being hypersexual with other patients. No one did anything about her and her abuses. So now we've lost the $53 million. King 5 goes into this long examination about this, about it being like hell. But in my research for this, I ran across some other states because I was really paying attention to how are other states doing, and I looked into the state of California. You know what I found? This is insanity, and it's headed here. You know about the diversionary programs that Smack Daddy Dow Constantine likes and that Heroin Dan Satterberg likes? The diversionary programs. They're great, in my mind, for first-time offenders, but people like Heroin Dan Satterberg.
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
He's used this for hardened gang members who got into the diversionary program. And in that program, those guys in that program participated, according to police, in shooting a guy and killing him, shooting him 28 times. The state of California snuck into a budget bill. It was a bill meant simply to clean up the budget. They snuck in a new law about people who are criminally insane.
Our legislators snuck some major, major justice system changes into what's supposed to basically be a budget bill. And this isn't totally out of the blue, because there was a Senate bill called 215 that had very similar provisions, but 215 had all kinds of checks and balances and limitations, and they took that, they took out all the checks and balances, they took out all the limitations, snuck it into this budget trailer bill, and now it got signed into law that a judge, without the consent of the prosecution, can grant restitution to anyone for any crime, including murder, rape, child molestation, anything.
So a murderer, a rapist, a child molester can claim to have a mental disorder and could get a diversion program instead of a trial, and then the charges can be dismissed if the judge thinks the disorder played an important part in the crime?
Yes.
And they really can kill a person and then claim a mental disorder, and a judge can let the guy go.
And this is the John and Ken show in the state of California, Los Angeles. That's the president of the Association of Districts, of Deputy District Attorneys, president of that group, named Michelle Hennessy, talking about this. And get this. So the defense can bring forward a witness, an expert, to say, my client had a disorder, mental disorder, committed this act. My client has had substantive progress. Guess what the prosecutor can't do? They can't bring their own witness. They don't get to respond to the claim that the person is now right in the head. Tell me that's not headed up this way. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show as we count down towards the president's announcement of the new Supreme Court nominee. That's going to happen about 6 o'clock. We're going to extend the show through there so you can listen to it live. Why don't we come back on the Todd Herman Show? What is the number one sport per capita for traumatic brain injuries involved in the sport? What is it? What's the first word that comes to your mind? Well, it's not every day we can do this. We're going to get a complete departure. I was going to talk, and I will. I'll get to this, because it's actually important societally. It's one of the great big myths that floats around the political world, and in fact, the societal world. Has to do with sports, and has to do with one sport in particular. But man, it's not every single day that I can announce this. You're going to want to remember where you were when you heard this. You're going to want to remember when you got this bit of news. You want to take it with you for the rest of your life. Okay? It's over. It's over. Gun violence has ended. In an incredible act of courage. The Seattle City Council has passed legislation that requires you to keep your gun in a metal box. I cannot express my thankfulness that the scourge of guns not in metal boxes has been ended. Already, this is an extraordinary scene. Live television coverage. Drug cartel members going into gun stores to purchase safes. Gangs getting bulk discounts at Safes R Us. Installing them and their drug cooking houses so as to keep the people who cook their meth safe from accidentally encountering a firearm. Already, a press release from MS-13 under the logo Rape Torture Control applauds the city council for stepping forth with this magnanimous, powerful piece of legislation that cannot be enforced because they cannot go to your home and make sure that you have your gun locked up. But they can criminalize you if someone happens to sneak in and steal your gun. But it's over. All around the city, we can expect to see a decrease in the record high levels of gang shootings in our area. Because the gangs, they can't shoot people when their guns are locked up in metal boxes. Because they can't take them out. Once they're in the box, they're in the box. Seattle City Council put out the following statement on their Twitter channel. Seattle City Council passes legislation to reduce gun violence by requiring responsible storage of firearms. Here's the quote. Seattle is unafraid to be a leader and take legislative action on measures to reduce and prevent gun violence, said Councilmember Lorena Gonzalez. Good Lord in heaven, what a beautiful day in the neighborhood. All right. With that, how about some facts?
We can all agree. Emotions have their place in life. But when it's time to make the big decisions, facts matter.
It's one great big effort to change a game that the left has never liked. I know this because of inside data I got when I did a project for the NFL back in the day. And I got to look at the data on who watches football games and who doesn't, and I looked at the political data, I looked at the attitudinal data, and I had all of it. The attack on football is really just an attack on something that is unashamedly male, unabashedly male, that is combat-like, it's performance-based, and it's been tied to patriotism, and it's not just the recent advent of the military paying to have presence at the games. It's been tied to patriotism for a long time because it has those qualities of being combat-like and of being male-driven. There's no hope of women getting to play professional football against men. It will never happen. There's really no hope of a women's professional football league. If you look at women's professional basketball, which I've never watched because it's a Planned Parenthood love fest, so they've told me they don't want me to watch. They've told me they don't want me to go to the games. I'm sure there's brilliant athletes in it, but they earn some, maybe 10%, if that, maybe 10% of what the male basketball leagues earn the NBA. The attack against football based upon the concussion data, I have always, always doubted. There's now a new study, comes from a wacko right-wing guy named Dr. Wellington Wellington Sue. That's a cool name, Wellington Sue. He's the professor of orthopedics at Northwestern's University Feinberg School of Medicine. If that's not wacko stuff, if that's not right-wing wacko stuff, I don't know what is. Probably a bitter clinger, too. Turns out, according to this study, reprinted in USA Today by Cam Smith, girls' soccer has higher per capita rate of concussion than any other sport. Roughly 27% of all injuries suffered by girl soccer players are traumatic brain injuries. Girls soccer. By the way, it also has one of the highest rates of knee injuries and other concerns. This is high school soccer. Now, if our concern was truly the noggins of the kids and the brains of the kids and the traumatic brain injury of kids, wouldn't this be prime time on ESPN? Wouldn't this be prime time on all the channels, that we would treat it the same way? No, it is not about traumatic brain injuries. Or they would also be reporting the traumatic brain injuries that also occur in every other sport, but girls' soccer being greater per capita than all the other sports. It will not make the headlines. It will not lead the news segments. There will be no concern pieces. And even if, God forbid, some girl gets a traumatic brain injury and ends up harming herself, God forbid, that won't lead the news. Because girls' soccer makes us European. Girls' soccer makes us cosmopolitan and fit into being a world citizen. Football, American style, does not, and that's why the left has been wanting to drive a stake through the heart of it. To the text line, the balls are much safer nowadays. That's good. Senseless. I knocked my head since I was playing soccer, and I would do it all again. What about lingerie football? That's a good point. I mean, we'll have to look into that as well. Old soccer bars were hard as a rock. Imagine sticking your head in one of those in the middle of winter. Oh, don't talk to me about winter and soccer. You ever been smacked hard in a football game during a freezing weather? Come on now. Let's be honest about pain. All right, we'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. I need to issue a warning. I made a promise to every single listener because we had people crash their cars. We had people break down emotionally. One guy, in fact, became so scared that he swears he's developed an emotional problem from this. I never thought I'd have to do this again. I'm giving you a heads up. I will play the Hillary theme when we continue. Again, I will play the Hillary theme. Coming up at 6 o'clock, we're going to go cut straight to the president's announcement of the new Supreme Court nominee. Warning, heads up, I am going to play the Hillary Clinton theme. Again, warning, playing theme in 3, 2, 1.
My emails are so boring. I'm embarrassed about that. I've been talking so much.
To the text line, I warned you. No, someone just texted in and said you said you'd warn us. I warned you twice. I warned you before the break and after the break. Okay, I know that people take that theme very seriously. Drudge is now apparently on the story that I've been tracking over the weekend, but also made a prediction. Hillary is loading up to run again. Hillary Clinton believes her legacy was stolen, her future was stolen, her destiny was stolen. This woman is no joke loading up to run again. She's formed an organization, in her people have, called Onward Together. It has the stupid arrow that pointed to the right in her stupid H logo. And it's an organizing methodology to get people going onward together. And it's Hillary pretending that she wants to lift you up into running for office, that her concern is creating a great, big, huge bench of charismatic, wonderful, young, democratic tyrannous socialists and democratic conquerors. If you can be a democratic socialist, you can be a democratic conqueror. They're the same thing. She's still going around the world, still giving speeches, still saying things that are the most astonishing in their tone deafness. She was talking to the BBC earlier this week, and it's probably a British newspaper, and they were asking her about sort of the attacks she's faced and the critiques she's faced, and she said about being a polarizing figure, quote, "I'm sure they said that about Churchill between the wars, didn't they?" A corruptocratic, thieving, cold-hearted con artist who has become a multi-billionaire by selling access to the State Department to the highest bidders, by selling our uranium, is comparing herself to Winston Churchill, who in fact was brought back to save his country from the then abyss of Nazi Germany, of the then abyss of appeasement. Hillary, the appeaser, until she wanted to act tough and start a civil war in Libya, is loading up with this organization, Onward Together, and putting out these videos of all these young faces describing how excited they are to be in this together with Hillary. And she continues to say things like this.
Everyone gets knocked down. What matters is whether you get back up and keep going. No, I'm not over it. I still think about the 2016 election. I still regret the mistakes I made.
New.
So today, as a person, I'm okay. But as an American, I'm concerned.
That's new. That's new. The mistakes I've made. You see the evolution. So what we're watching is the latest installation of the Hillary Clinton operating system. It's the Winston Churchill version. It's the I was cast aside because they couldn't see my wisdom. I was cast aside because they weren't ready for me. I was cast aside. The country made a wrong choice. And here I stand, the Winston Churchill of my generation. Now, never mind that Hillary Clinton once claimed to be named after a famous Brit, Sir Edmund Hillary. Her mother named her after Sir Edmund Hillary because he climbed Mount Everest. And her mother wanted her daughter to perform that way in life, be unafraid of obstacles. Sir Edmund Hillary had been a grocery store clerk, anonymous to the world when Hillary was born. But she's running on this platform of I was wronged and you made the wrong choice. I made mistakes. I guarantee the I made mistakes thing will be part of this theme. It will also be we made a mistake together. I made mistakes which led to this historical mistake. But she's running into this environment. There's a postdoctoral researcher at McGill University. And he is detailing the plans of the left. Now, you want to hear how much these elections matter. He's not the only guy saying this, but his piece has gone really viral. His name is Rob Goodman. And he wrote a piece quoting from a book by a leftist named David Farris. The article that has gone viral is, quote, "Hey, Democrats, fighting fair is for suckers. Here's some of the things this guy wants to do if the left regains the majority in Washington, D.C. Number one, grant statehood to D.C. Okay, so you have a 51st liberal state. Grant statehood to Puerto Rico. Now you have 52 liberal states. Break California into 7 states. The goal ultimately to get 16 new Democrats in the Senate, expand the Supreme Court. So load up the court with a bunch of new seats, every single one of them appointed by a leftist. Expand the federal courts. So you invent new judges and maybe even new districts and you pack them with leftists. Move multi-member House districts to roll back some of the gerrymandering that the Republicans have been able to do. And let's not be dishonest. We do that. Pass a new Voting Rights Act, including nationwide automatic voter registration. So the presumption is you're allowed to vote. You automatically get registered, and that's the presumption. And then you someone has to prove otherwise that you should not be allowed to vote. Reinstall felon voting rights around the country. End voter ID laws. Grant citizenship to as many millions upon millions, he says, of so-called undocumented immigrants, meaning illegal immigrants. Create a host of new Democratic-leaning voters. And his quote from his paper, Republicans have always feared that immigrants would change the face of the country. I say we give them their biggest fear. Yeah, so Hillary's running. Here we are to my favorite part of the program, your letters and emails, your social media posts, longer form communication with the show. You know the rules of the show, right? We do the text messages. We weave those in throughout the show at 800-465-8770. And we also do tweets throughout the show. That's at Todd E. Herman. But we'll wait until this segment of the show to get into longer form communication. Brandon starts us off from Fargo. Hey, Brandon, welcome to the Todd Herman Show. This is awesome to have you writing in from Fargo. You're our first note from Fargo. Seeing the media and the Democrats think it's okay to force people into acquiring health care, I feel the Republican Party should push towards citizens being forced to purchase guns. This would encourage a typical outrage from the left. Of course, they shouldn't actually, but I think it would bring up very logical points while showing how ridiculous it is. With that being said, you can't expect them to understand the irony and hypocrisy. While at it, of course, forcing the people unwilling to pay for a tax. It's a random thought that I had pop into my head while I was listening to your show. I really enjoy you filling in for Rush. God bless. Wow, Brandon, thanks for the note. I appreciate that very, very much. And I hope I get blessed again to do that one day, you know, to fill in for Rush. Obviously, it's a huge, huge honor in this business. So your point's a great one, and we need to play more of these games. Really, really do. I have taken the text, Brandon, from out here, with this insane 1639, speaking of guns, this thing that forces you, if you get on your knees and you beg the government to let you purchase a pistol, they treat that application process as a waiver of your health care privacy rights. Literally, that's how they treat it. Now, I've put that up on the Facebook page. If you don't believe me, I put the actual text of the initiative up on the Facebook page, all right? So I was thinking about this. I've taken that text and I've started the process of removing the words assault weapon and pistol and putting in the words marijuana. I'll tell you why, how I justify this. I don't want to do this, but this is what I think we should do, is marijuana is getting into the hands of kids under five in record numbers since we legalized the stuff in the state. And that's deadly for these kids often. Right, it really makes a lot of them sick. I don't know how deadly it is, but it makes them really, really, really sick. So I'm going to say the same thing. All right, you buy pot, that's great. We're going to do a criminal background check. You give up your right to healthcare privacy just in case the pot makes you insane. You have to store it in the safe or you're in trouble. If your pot is stolen, then you're liable for this. You need to go to safety training every 5 years. By the way, the local sheriff can give a knock on the door just to make sure that you got your pot all legally stored. You watch the left's minds blow up when I bring this up. And to Edmonds we go. Tiffany writing, Dear Mr. Herman, I enjoy your program. I particularly like it when you go on little rants about music. I'm also a huge music fan. Saw my first concert ever in the Seattle Center where I saw John Cougar Mellencamp. I heard you mention that you were at that show. I think it was the same show. It was when he did Check It Out. I'm a little bit younger than you. No offense. You're wiser than me. In any case, I listened to the program for your political insights, and something really struck me when you talked to Kim Wyman. You've told us on countless occasions that you don't have the patience to be a politician. Well, sir, I beg to differ. You held Kim's feet to the fire in really impressive ways. I could hear that she felt cornered, and yet you did this with absolute kindness in your voice and respect for her. It was a really hard interview. I felt sorry for her on one side of things, but then again, she ran for a statewide office in our state. I thought Kim did a good job of explaining her position, and I do think I understand it more. Todd, that wouldn't have happened in any other interview. No one else would have gone at her the way you did, particularly asking her to pray about this decision. I learned something about Kim Wyman in that interview. I don't think she was kidding about praying. I could hear it in her voice. Will you please, please reconsider your stance against running for office? We need people like you who can balance hard cross-examination with having a heart for the person they're cross-examining. I hope you will give that some prayer, like you asked Kim to pray about her position. Tiffany from Edmonds. Well, Tiffany, thanks for the note. It was the Check It Out tour. That was American Jubilee was the name of that record. And yeah, I was there. Maybe we sat near each other. So I don't know. You didn't tell me how young you are in comparison to me being old, Tiffany. That's okay. I take no offense at having received wisdom. I'll tell you, I can do that in short bursts, to have conversations with someone like a Kim Wyman in short bursts. But I also know that I'm not calibrated in a way that I could do that on a continuous basis. And particularly, I couldn't do it within the lobbyist community. I know there's folks like Dino Rossi. Okay, I know Dino, and I am 99.999% certain that there's nobody who can buy Dino. I'd say 100% certain, but I've learned to not do that. Dino's unbuyable. I think I'm unbuyable, right? I don't think I can be bought. People have tried to buy me. They've tried to bribe me. But you know what? If someone in politics tried that with me, I would want to burn them down. I don't mean harm them physically, clearly, but I would want to burn their careers to the ground. I have such and take such offense at the buying of our system that I do not think I could operate in that environment. But in short bursts, like I said, with Kim Wyman or other people, yeah, I can do that. But I think this is my role, right? If I were to change my role at all, it would be to try to get to more liberals, not leftists, but to try to get to more like independents. You can help with that, by the way, when you share our blogs, when you share our articles, or you share the podcast, believe it or not, that does get into the hands of independents, and it can change a mind or two. Last up, from a private Facebook message from Jesse in Kirkland. Dear Todd, do an entire segment on music. Jesse. is that a dare? Look, I've done segments on songs and their meaning. I've done that in the personal note more than once, and I like to do that, particularly as a respite from politics. Not everything needs to be political, but we're a political show. We talk about conservative politics, and when I do that, sometimes it confuses people. So I'll do it again. I've done it around the song Sweet Home Alabama, because I told the story of how that was a war between Neil Young and the Van Zandt brothers. In Lynyrd Skynyrd, and it was a conversation that actually changed Neil Young's mind. Neil Young apologized, did you know that, for writing the song Southern Man? Southern Man with your, I hear whips. Remember that, about whips cracking, etc.? Neil Young later admitted that he'd been bigoted in writing that song, that he had put the history of slavery on the backs of all people who lived in the South. And he thanked Lynyrd Skynyrd for opening his mind. So from time to time, we'll do that. But just on music, Jesse, you should extrapolate a little bit more. All right, Todd, our show will continue. Remember, we're going to do an extended version of the show tonight as we await the president's announcement of who he will nominate to sit on the Supreme Court. So that next hour as well, some fresh Seattle spirit on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM.